In the day's other news, the World Health Organization warned that the Northern Hemisphere faces a critical juncture in the COVID-19 pandemic. The agency reported 445,000 new cases worldwide just in the last 24 hours, nearly half of them in Europe. Across the United States, the number of hospitalizations has hit a two-month high. Sudan moved today to normalize relations with Israel, the third country in recent months to do so. President Trump announced it at the White House with the leaders of both countries on the phone. He claimed that still more Arab states will join in.
We will have them, along with some other countries that you will be hearing about coming, probably simultaneously. And then ultimately, we're going to have a big reunion at the end where everybody's here and everybody's going to be signed.
Earlier, Sudan said it is compensating U.S. victims of al-Qaeda attacks carried out while Osama bin Laden was living there. And the U.S. removed Sudan from a list of state sponsors of terror. The Trump administration is also intervening to try to bring peace between Azerbaijan and Armenia. The two sides have been fighting over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh, and there was heavy new combat today. But in Washington, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo welcomed his Azeri and Armenian counterparts for talks. Russian efforts to mediate peace have so far failed. Rival factions in Libya signed a permanent ceasefire today after years of fighting. The United Nations brokered the deal, and it became official during a ceremony in Geneva. There were no details on how it will be enforced. Libya's conflict erupted after dictator Muammar Gaddafi was overthrown in 2011. In Nigeria, major cities were relatively calm after days of protests over police brutality. But in Lagos, men armed with metal bars and sticks blocked main roads, and many criticized the president for failing to condemn the killing of protesters by soldiers. Back in this country, the U.S. Senate formally took up the nomination of federal judge Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court. The vote to begin debate was 51 to 46, almost entirely down party lines. The Republican majority is expected to confirm Barrett on Monday. Hundreds of people in Colorado are under evacuation orders after a new wildfire ignited this week. The East Troublesome Fire has joined the nearby Cameron Peak Fire as the largest in state history, burning vast acreage and an unknown number of homes. Officials are struggling to keep up.
An area that we thought was pretty good the other day, we're now seeing fire in. And so fires close to houses, fires close to our roadways. I really want to make that message, really as a primary message to our community, is that we're not withholding information, we're not trying to delay information getting out there. We don't know.
Fire crews say they hope that snow and colder weather expected this weekend will help to slow the fires. Wall Street finished this Friday with mixed results. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 28 points to close at 28,335. The Nasdaq rose 42 points, and the S&P 500 added about 12. And one absentee ballot in the November election is making an interstellar journey. Astronaut Kate Rubins cast her ballot from the International Space Station on Thursday. Many American astronauts live in Houston, and Texas law allows them to vote from orbit using a secure electronic ballot. Any way you can get it done. Still to come on the NewsHour, major changes to Florida's demographics could prove crucial to the outcome of the election. Mark Shields and David Brooks analyze the final debate and key Senate races to watch, how the performing arts are taking the stage in the pandemic. We discuss the latest wave of COVID cases with the director of the National Institutes of Health, and much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.